Shir is Masechta Shavuos Daf Chaf Aleph. We will begin on Daf Chaf Amid Beis, six lines from the bottom. Ella, the Gemara in the previous Shir had quoted the opinion of Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi taught us that the Torah speaks about a Shavuos Sheker, and the Torah speaks about a Shavuos Shav. According to Rav Dimi, a Shavuos of oichel v'loy oichel, that somebody says that somebody makes a shvuah that he will eat, or somebody makes a shvuah that he will not eat, speaking into the future, is in the category of a shvuah sheker. Somebody who makes a shvuah according to Rav Dimi of a chalti and loy achalti, a shvuah regarding the past, he swears falsely that he did or didn't eat, is in the category of a shvuah sheker, a shvuah shav. Kainamis, Reb Dimi said, were in the category of lo yachal dvarei. And in the previous year, the Gemara quoted a very short braisa. The braisa said, shav v'sheker echor hein. Seemingly, posh pshat, the braisa saying, that they both represent the same type of situation, clearly a question based on what we just said, Reb Dimi said. The Gemara attempted to say that what the braisa meant to say with shav v'sheker echad hein was that, just like we know and we explained at the end of yesterday's shir, zocher v'sham b'diba echad nemru, that zocher v'sham both said at the same time, so too sheker and shav were said at the same time. The Gemara attempted to say at the previous shir. The Gemara said, the fact that Zocher v'Shamer was said at the same time have halachic ramification, but that Shav v'Sheker should be said at the same time have no halachic ramification. And therefore, what is Pshat in Shav v'Sheker that was said at the same time? Shav v'Sheker Echad Hein are the same. Says the Gemara Ella, the way to understand what the braisa means is k'shem shalok al shav kach loika nami al sheker. Just like one gets malchus for shvuah shav, so too does one get malchus for shvuah sheker. Machloikis rishonim, how to understand the gears of the Gemara. Our Gemara has the gears of Ella, which we know Ella represents a retraction of the previous teretz, and therefore those Rishonim who follow this girsa literally say that the Gemara is teaching us that we no longer hold that Shavuos Shav and Shavuos Sheker was said at the same time, and rather we say that Shavuos Shav and Shavuos Sheker represent Shavuos Shav and Shavuos Sheker represent, as the Gemara just said, you get Malkus for both. That's how many Rishonim explain. However, there are Rishonim that explain, and this will be more understood as we get deeper in today's Shir Mitzvah Hashem, that the only way we know that there is indeed Malkus for both types of Shavuos is that because the Torah teaches us an extra word, we'll explain it more later, and therefore the Gemara is actually still holding on to the concept of Shav v'Sheker b'diba echad nemru, and that there's a purpose in understanding that, which we will explain further. Ask the Gemara, however, this explanation is difficult. For we know, and we will discuss in Mitzvah Shem in today's shir, for lav shiyesh by maisa, for lav that involves an action, there's certainly malchus. So therefore, if somebody makes a shvua that he will not eat, and then he eats, that's certainly a shvua for which you will get malchus, which according to Rav Dimi's interpretation is in the category of a shvua sheker. A shvua shav, which according to Rav Dimi means that you make a shvua that you did something when you didn't, or vice versa, doesn't involve a maisa. So if anything, ask the Gemara klap elaya, it should be just the opposite. Shouldn't we say that k'shem shaloika, a shvua sheker, that Shvuah Sheker, for Shvuah into the future you get Malkus. Certainly you get so for Shvuah Shav. So says the Gemara indeed. El Eima, we should change the wording. And what the Gemara says, the Brisa means is, Shem Shloik al Sheker, which as we just explained is a Shlav, Shiesh by Maisa, Kach Loik Anami on the Shvuah Shav. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, of course so should be the Halacha. High Lav for High Lav. These are both lavim that the Torah says one may not transgress. Why would we treat one lav differently than the other lav? And as the Rishonim point out, it's a very interesting situation. A moment ago, the Gemara said that it wasn't so obvious that we get that Malkus is given for Shvuah Shav. And now the Gemara is saying, Pshita, it's obvious. So say the Rishonim, but the Gemara didn't mean to say that there shouldn't be Malkus for Shvuah Shav. What the Gemara meant to say was that if we have to choose which is the situation which is more logical to say that there's Malkus, we're going to say so by Shvuah Sheker versus Shvuah Shav. But certainly the Gemara assumes that we give Malkus for Shvuah Shav also. Answers the Gemara, what the Braisa is teaching us is Madu Tema, could Amle Rapapa Labaya. We would think like Rapapa Tabaya said. And the Pasuk says, Kilo Yanaka Hashem, Eish Ashayisa Eshemoi Lishov. And perhaps the Torah is teaching us, Lo Yanaka Klal, and the Gemara is going to explain this a little more soon, that we don't give a punishment, that this is such a serious Avera, for which there's no punishment given, no Malkus given for this Avera. Kermashmon, that's what the Brayis is teaching us, Kedishonile, as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem, that Malkus is indeed given for this Avera. Vibay Seima, another way of understanding the Brayisa, is that the Brayis is teaching us, Kshem Shemevi Karban Al Sheker, just like a Karban Oil of Yoyrid is brought, if one Bishoygeg violates a Shvuah into the future, that he made a shvuah and then he doesn't keep it, then he violates it in the shvuah into the future. Everybody agrees, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta already. One under those circumstances brings the carbon oil of Yared, kach mevi a carbon al shav. So too in a situation where somebody swore he did or didn't do something, and it turns out to be shogig, he made a false shvuah, he brings the carbon oil of Yared, and this brisa will therefore represent the opinion of Rabbi Kivihi, the Mechayiv L'Sha'ovah Klahaba, that he, unlike Rabbi Shmuel, holds that there's a Chiyiv Karban Oil of Yoyrid for Shvuah of the past, just like there is for the future. Meisvei asked the Gemara, how could we say that according to Rav Dimi, the interpretation, the Pshat of a Shvuah Sheker is the future, a Shvuah Shav is the past? It says in another Braisa, Ezi Shvuah Shav, what is the definition of a Shvuah Shav? Nishbel Hashanis, where somebody swears something which is not the truth. Shvuah Sheker, Nishbel Hachlev, he said something was when it wasn't, he exchanged. So the Gemara's question is, Rav Dimi has been explaining that a Shvuah Shav means a Shvuah in the past. A Shvuah Shav means in the past, a Shvuah Sheker means towards the future. And this Braisa says, Lahachlif, which means even, which also means the past, and it's called a Shvuah Sheker. Answers the Gemara, Eima Nishba Umachlif. Say that the Braisa isn't speaking about somebody made a Shvuah about the past, a false Shvuah, but it's speaking about the future. Says the Gemara, Ki Asa Rovin, Omer Rabbi Yirmiya, Omer Rabbavu, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Achalti v'lo yachalti. If somebody makes a shvua that he did eat or he didn't eat about the past, that is called sheker. V'asharasei, and the lav is based on the pasuk mili shishava b'shmi l'sheker. If somebody makes a shvua oichel v'lo yoichel, a shvua about the future, he's over the lav of lo yachal dvorei. V'ez a shvua shav. And what is the definition of a shvua shav? Nishbel Hashanah says Sayyidu al Adam. So according to the way Rashi and many Rishonim understand, Ravin, unlike Rav Dimi, hold that both Shvuah Shav and Shvuah Sheker speak to Shvuah in the past. A Shvuah in the future is Lo Yachel Dvorei. Just as a Machloikis Rishonim, how to understand what the Gemara means with regarding Shvuah Shav and Shvuah Shekar. Many Rishonim say that's the pshat of Rashi, holds that the difference between a Shvuah Shav and a Shvuah Shekar is a Shvuah Shav is a Shvuah in the past for something which is obviously not true. If somebody goes and makes a Shvuah that this wood table is made out of gold, that's a Shvuah Shav. If somebody makes a Shvuah that he ate or didn't eat falsely, that's not obviously false, because I don't necessarily know if somebody ate or didn't eat, and therefore that is considered a Shvuah Shekar. A Shvuah in the future is considered Layachal Dvari. There are other Rishonim that say, and that they say that's Pshat in the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that Shvuah Shekar is not only the past, it's also the future. The Chiddush of Ravin is that it's specifically, that's not only the future, but it's also the past. There's also a question, as we discussed in the previous year, to what circumstances does Layachal Dvaray speak to? But again, as we're going to learn, each situation has its own Shvuah. A Shvuah to the future has its own Lav. A Shvuah to the future is the Lav of Layachal Dvaray. A Shvuah that's patently, obviously false, a Shvuah Shav, for the past. A Shvuah that's not obviously false for the past is a Shvuah Shekar. Says the Gemara, Amar Papa, Hada Ravu La Beferish Etna B'chol Etna. We didn't hear Rav Avu say this explicitly. We could only understand it based on way we heard Rav Avu explain what Rav Yochanan said, and therefore by understanding that, that's how we know what the Shvuah Shekar applies to. But as the Rishonim point out, normally when the Gemara says these words of Laba Ferishit Mel Mechalet, the Gemara is actually trying to ask a question. Here the Gemara is not really trying to ask a question. The Gemara is just trying to make a statement that Rav Avu did not hear this explicitly. We only know this implicitly. How do we know this? Rav Yehuda Avim Mishim Rav Yosef Glili. For every lav in the Torah, lav sheyesh b'maisa, like in a lav, for lav sheyesh b'maisa, there is malchus, she'em b'maisa, but when it's a lav she'em b'maisa, ain't like in a lav. We don't have malchus. Chutz, there are exceptions. Nishba, if somebody makes a shvuah, a false shvuah, or meimer, we know, means that if somebody has an animal, which he designated as a carbon, and there's nothing wrong with that animal, and he goes and he attempts to substitute one animal for another animal, Meimar, the Torah says, V'hoyehu u'tmarasa yi'akaydish, that both animals are kaydish, but he's over a lav, even though the lav doesn't involve any action, it's just saying the tmura. U'makalas chaver b'shem, somebody curses somebody else with Hashem's name. Machloikas v'shoinim, if it's specifically with the shame, Shem HaMiyuchad Yud Kei Vav Kei. So is the opinion of Rashi and the Ravid. The Rambam's opinion is that it's using any Shem Hashem. So Al Gemara here is teaching us that for Lav Shem B'maisa there is no Malkus. Ask the Mefarshim that the Rabbi Yochanan, whose opinion we are now discussing, is actually the Manda Omer that says Akimas Vasayim, moving one's lip, have a maisa. It's considered a maisa. Where do we find this? The Torah says, "Lysachs m'shabedishai." One may not muzzle an animal. And Rabbi Yochanan says, not only is one over the lav if he physically goes and muzzles the animal, but even if he just screams at the animal as the animal is attempting to eat, chasima b'kol is considered an act of chasima. So here we see that a kimas vasayim, moving one lips, is considered a maisa. So the question is, why over here does Agmar not consider moving one's lip a maisa? So the simple terrace is that not everybody follows the opinion that a kimas vasayim have a maisa, and Agmar is following that opinion. Another terrace is that when do we say that a kimas vasayim have a maisa? It's only in a situation where the act that we're discussing could be done with an act. Again, let's speak about chasim, muzzling an animal. You can muzzle an animal with your hands, with a muzzle. So teaches us the Gemara that if you didn't muzzle it with your hands, you muzzled it by screaming on it. Chasim akimus v'saim, that's also considered an act. But a veira that can never be done with an act, and a veira that can only be done with talking, would never be considered a maisa. Another opinion that the Rishonim suggest is that where do we say akimus v'saim have a maisa is where by moving one's lip it triggers an act. As we explained, one screams at the animal that's eating. If somebody screams at it, it causes a chain reaction that the animal doesn't eat. However, in our cases that our Gemara just mentioned, it doesn't represent a ripple effect that it causes another action, and therefore it's not a kimus v'saim for itself would not be considered a maisa. Furthermore, Tosfos asks that the list that the Gemara is giving seems not to be a complete list, because there are another two examples for which are a lavshe aimed by maisa and malchus is given. One is the case of Edom Zomim, which we discussed at great length in the beginning of Sechta Makis. And the other is a case of Moitzi Shemra. If a husband falsely says, L'mitzasi l'bitcha psulim, that he gets Malkus. So here we have two more examples. Why doesn't our Gemara mention them? So Tosfos gives two terutzim. One terutz Tosfos gives is that since those two cases are explicit cases mentioned by the Torah that there is no malchus, that there are malchus for those cases, the Gemara felt no need to explicitly mention them. Another teretz that Tosfos suggests is that just because the Gemara says we're going to give a list of all the cases that there are alav she'ein by ma'isa who get malchus, doesn't mean that the list is completely exhaustive. Even if the list says I'm giving you the chutz, the exceptions. And there are certainly exceptions. The two exceptions that I just mentioned, in particular, Edom Zomim and Moitzi Shemra. Ask the Gemara, Nishma Menolan, from where do we know that swearing falsely, even though it's a lav she'ein by Maisa, there is Malkus? Amar B'yachim Shimra B'shim Ben Yochai, Amar Kro, the Pasuk says, Lo Sisa Hashem Hashem Elokech L'Hashem, L'Shav, K'lo Yenaka, Yisa Shemay L'Shav. To teach us, Bezdin Shemala Eimanakaroisoi, that the Bezdin Shemala doesn't absolve somebody for doing such an Avera, Ava Bezdin Shemata Menakaroisoi. The Bezdin Shemata Malkaroisoi gives a Malkus, or Menakaroisoi, and then he's clarified. However, it's interesting to point out, the Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, says that even though the Bezdin Shemata gives Malkus for somebody who swears falsely, still he doesn't have a complete kapara until HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes him. The Ravid immediately disagrees with the Rambam, as we just learned in our Gemara. The Bezdin Shemata does give the punishment, and that clears him. How do we understand indeed the pshat of the Rambam? So one pshat that I saw is that the Kesef Mishnah quotes this pshat, is that the Rambam certainly is of the opinion that swearing falsely is a very serious avera for which the punishment is only minashamayim. But we know that if somebody swears falsely, he becomes disqualified from being an aid. That much, says the Rambam, the punishment that Bezdin Shemata gives takes care of, then now he could be considered a kosher aid. However, he still needs the punishment Menashmayim to take away the Aveira. Dritvaz gives a different explanation. He says, and as the Pasuk says, when somebody swears falsely, there are actually two parts to his Aveira. One part is the Aveira of swearing falsely. Another is for the Chilul Hashem involved in swearing falsely. For as we explained in our previous year, a shvua is only considered a shvua when the Shem Hashem is used. And that's pshat. For the Aveira of swearing falsely, says the Ratvaz, Bezdin Shamata Menachnoi Soi. The Bezdin here absolves that Aveira. But there's still the Aveira of the Chila Hashem, which we know as the Gemara Masechta Yuma tells us, is considered a very, very serious Aveira, and that Aveira is only absolved by the Bezdin Shamala, teaches us the Rambam. Another Pshat that the Kesem Meshner suggests is that there's really a two-step Kapara. The first step of the Kapara is what Bezdin Shamata does, and the second step of the Kapara is done by the Bezdin Shamala. Omer Rapapal Abaya, says Rapapat Abaya, who tells you to learn Pshat that way? Dilma, Hachikam Rachmona, maybe what the Torah meant is Lo Yonaka Klal, that you will not be absolved at all, that making the Shvu won't, Bezdin Shamata doesn't give a punishment for, because he can't be absolved in this world. He answers, Iksiv, would the Pasuk have just said, Ki Lo Yonaka, Kirkamrit, your definition would be fine. Hashtata Aksiv, however, the Pasuk uses the words, Ki Lo Yonaka Hashem, to teach us Hashem who deina menaka, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't absolve him. However, Bezdin Shamata, Malkanai Soi, Menakanai Soi, but getting Malkus, he gets absolved. So continues the Gemara. Ashkechan Shvu Shav. So we've spoken about a Shvu Shav. Shvu Shekem and Olam. Answers the Gemara of Yoachan the day Omar. Rabbi Yoachan says, L'shav, L'shav, Shtei Pamim. The Torah uses the words L'shav twice. The Pasuk says the words L'shav two times, just to read the words of the Pasuk, L'sis Hashem Elkech Hashem, L'sis Hashem Elkech L'shav, K'lo Yinak Hashem Eis Asher Yisa Shmoy L'shav. So as Rashi explains, the Torah uses the words L'shav two times, Im Einin Yilashu L'shav, if it's not speaking about the case for Shvuah Shav, because we already know for Shvuah Shav there's Malkus, to Nei Inyu L'Shvuah Sheker, it comes to teach us that there's a Malkus for Shvuah Sheker. The Gemara is going to explain this in a moment. However, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Other Rishonim, including Tosfos, explain what does the Pasuk mean, what does the Gemara mean, that the Torah says twice. Tosfos and other Rishonim, what the Gemara here means, that in one of the Seraphs of Dibros, the Torah uses the word Shav, and the other one uses the word Sheker, to teach us that for both of them, there's a Oynish Malkus. Now we could understand what we began today's Shia with. We began our Shia today, do we still hold that Shvuah Shav and Shvuah Sheker, B'diba Echad Nemer, was said B'diba Echad. Now, according to these Rishonim, it's very understandable. Because the only reason that there's Malkus for both Shav and Sheker is because B'diba Echad Nemer, which our Gemara now is teaching us that there's Malkus for both circumstances. So we have to continue holding B'diba Echad Nemer. But in understanding what the Gemara just said, Havibar Rabavua tried to understand. Hai Shvuah Sheker Hechidami. What is the Shvuah Sheker that the Braisa refers to mean? Ilay Meshvuah Shloi Oichel V'Ochel. If it's referring to a situation where somebody made a Shvuah that he will not eat and then he actually ate, says the Gemara, that's obvious that there's Malkus for that. Lav Shesh B'Maisa. It's a full fledged Lav Shesh B'Maisa. Elo. The case perhaps is where somebody made a shvur sh'oichel, he made a shvur that he will eat v'loy ochel, and then he ends up not eating. Ask the Gemara, hai mi loika, does one get malchus under such circumstances? V'etmer, we learn if somebody says shvur sh'oichel kikazo hayoim, if somebody makes a shvur that he's going to eat this loaf of bread v'av hayoim v'loy ochel, and the day passed without him eating it, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish d'am t'vai ein loika, everybody's in agreement that there is no malchus. Rabbi Yochanan, the only question is to why. Rabbi Yochanan, like, Mishum Dava Lav Shem B'Maisa, he didn't eat. V'kol Lav Shem B'Maisa, and like in Olav. Rishlokish Amen, like, Rishlokish says you don't get Malkus, because Rishlokish holds for Lav Shem B'Maisa there is Malkus. So what's the reason there is no Malkus here? Mishum Dava Asra Sofik, it's a situation of Asra Sofik. Asra Sofik, since we don't know if the person, let's say, made a shvu, is going to eat this loaf of bread today. And now it's 10 o'clock in the morning. There's plenty of time. And I tell him, you have to eat your loaf, because you made a shvu, you're going to eat it. But he has plenty of time to eat it. So that's why it remains Asra Sofik, and Asra Sofik, Loishma Asra. So Rashi asks, Why is this considered Asura Sofik? Why, if we give him Asura at the last moment of the day, will it not be considered a full-fledged Asura? Because now if he doesn't eat at this moment, he's going to be over the laugh. So Rashi answers, since we don't know for sure what is the last moment of the day when she's being over the Aveira, that's why it always remains Asura Sofik. But then the Achrayim ask, but why is it even considered Asura Sofik? Asura Sofik, they ask, would only be in a situation where the person is about to do an Aveira, like the example we just gave. It's almost the last moment of the day. So the question is this Asura, is it the last moment of the day, is it not the last moment of the day? But if somebody gives Asura in the beginning of the day, where there's plenty of time for the person to fulfill his shvua, that would be a case where it's not Asura at all. Because why does the person doesn't have to eat the loaf of bread 10 in the morning? He has all day long to eat the loaf of bread. So the Chanan in the Kibbutz Aris explains that that's exactly the case Al Gemara is referring to. Al Gemara is referring to a situation where it's the end of the day, and indeed, as Rashi pointed out, we don't know which is the exact moment that's the end of the day that we could say that this is the Asura Svadai. But he gave, the person who's giving the warning, gave a number of Asuras. One of them is the right one. We just don't know which is the real right Asura, so that's why it's considered Asura, but it's Asura Sofik. Rishmur Rozovsky, however, has a very different approach. He says the following. If somebody makes a shvua that I have to eat this loaf of bread today, and then the day passes without him having eaten the loaf of bread, when was he over the Aveira? Was he only over the Aveira in the last moment of the day? Or do we say that he was over the Aveira all day long? Just the last moment of the day is when we see that it's the culmination of a long Aveira that took all day. So he suggests that certainly somebody that made such a shvua and didn't eat the loaf of bread was over the Aveira the whole day. And therefore, any Asura given during the day will fall into the category of Asura Sofik. So clearly, the Gemara is teaching us that there is no Hasra, there is no Malkus, whether it's Rabbi Yochanan's reasoning or Rish Lakish's reasoning, when somebody makes a shvua that he will eat and ends up not eating. So when we learned that not only is there Malkus for when somebody makes a shvua that he won't eat and he will eat, but there's also Malkus for what the Gemara, what Rabbi Yochanan called shvuas sheker, what must be that case of shvuas sheker for which there's Malkus? Omre bevuah, it must be the case of a chalti v'loy chalti. Somebody made a shvua that he ate and he didn't eat, or he did eat and he was made a shvua that he did eat when he actually didn't eat, that will be the case where there is the shvua. So ask the Rishonim, the Rimigash says this beautiful explanation. As the Gemara will now indicate, we have two cases where it's not obvious that there's Malkus. One is the case that we spoke about, where somebody made a shvua that he's going to eat and he ends up not eating. And one is the case where somebody made a shvua that he ate or didn't eat and he ended up lying. And as the Gemara is now going to explain, it's the second case that Rabbi Avuah says that's the shvua sheker for which there is Malkus. Why more that case than the other case? Says the Rimigash. In this case, even though it involves the lav shein by Maisa, still it's a very serious Aveira. Because as this person was declaring his shvua, as he was declaring his shvua at the very same moment, it was not true. And that's why it's a very serious Aveira. Whereas in the other case, it wasn't as he was declaring the Aveira that it was a shvua, it was a false shvua. It only becomes false later. And therefore, we're going to say that there's Malkus. It makes more sense to say that there's Malkus in the case of a chalti v'loy chalti. And that's the Gemara's question. Umayishna, why does he call this a shvua sheker? Amar Rava, b'feirush rips the Torah shvua sheker, doimel lo shav. The Torah compares a shvua sheker to a shvua shav. And ma shav means l'sha'avar, av sheker now means l'sha'avar, and that's why chalti v'loy chalti is included to be a case for which there's Malkus. Eisver, Yemir Rab Abba, asked the Gemara, asked Rabbi Yirmiyahu to Rabbi Avuha that we're saying that Shvu is Sheker. You're saying that Shvu is Sheker refers to Shvu in the past. If somebody makes a Shvu, Shvu is Shloyach Kikazah, or Shvu Shloyach Lana, Shvu Shloyach Lana. First he made a Shvu that he won't eat this Kikah, and then he says again and again that he won't eat it, Vachla, and then he ends up eating it, and Chayiv Alachas. He's only Chayiv for violating one Shvu. Why? Because we know that once somebody makes a shvua, he has an obligation to fulfill that shvua. So no other shvua can be chal, because they become now shvuas that obligate him to fulfill a mitzvah. And a shvua l'kayim a mitzvah, as we learned and will learn, is not an effective shvua. That continues that mission that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Chav Zayin, saying zui shvuis bitui. This is the case of a shvua shechayavin azodayin malchus v'ashigasa carbon oil of yared, to which when one violates a b'mezid, he's chayiv malchus, and if he violates a b'shogig, he's chayiv a carbon oil of yared. Says Rabbi Yirmiya, the Mishnah used the word zuhi. What does the Mishnah want to teach us with the word zuhi? Zuhi l'muti mai, lav l'muti. Isn't it coming to teach us that lachalti v'loyachalti, that in that case, loyloki, one doesn't get malchus? We're explaining that the Braisa is teaching us that shvua sheker, and Ravua says the definition of a shvua sheker means a shvua in the past of achalti v'loyachalti, there is malchus. And says the Gemara, that's not what the Mishnah means. What the Mishnah means is that for achalti v'loyachalti, there is no chiv carbon oil of yoyrit. And the Mishnah is teaching us as follows. Zuhi, where we speak about a shvua, that somebody makes a shvua shloi oichel kikuzu, there the halach is that if he violates the shvua b'shoigig, he's chayiv a carbon oil v'yoyrit. Aval chalti v'loi chalti, loi. There won't be a carbon oil v'yoyrit. Why? Because this Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel that we learned already at the beginning of our Masechta. And a chayiv el asad lovoi, he holds that a chayiv carbon oil of yoyrit is only for shvua into the future, but not for a shvua about the past. But the Mishnah is not discussing malchus, says the Gemara at this point. Avam milki, malchus there will be for the case of a chalti v'loy chalti, as Ravua taught us. Ask the Gemara, aim a sefer. Let's continue learning that Mishnah. The Mishnah continues saying, zuhi shvua shav. And the Mishnah continues teaching us that when somebody makes a shvua about something that's obvious, like the case we always give, a person saying that the wood table is made out of gold, this is the case, shechayovin alzadoyna makas, that if somebody is over this shvua, made the shvua b'mezid, he's chayiv malkas, v'ashigasoy, and if he made it b'shogig, he's potter. Zui l'mayitumai, what is the word zuhi come to teach us? My lav lamuti, achalti v'loy achalti, that this is the case for which there's a chiv malchus, but v'achalti v'loy achalti, loy lucky there is no malchus again. So doesn't the sefer, the Mishnah, seem to indicate, unlike Rabbi Avuha, contrary to Rabbi Avuha, that there is no malchus for achalti and loy achalti? Says the Gemara, loy. That's not the way to understand the Mishnah. Rather, the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Zuhi dashi gosei potem karbin. This is the shvua, a shvua shav, this no chiv carbon, ava chalti v'loy chalti. In the case of a shvua spitui in the past, the loch will be, you will be chayiv al shigosoi chayiv carbon. If one, somebody makes such a shvua b'shoigig, a false shvua like this b'shoigig, it's chayiv a carbon oil v'yoyrid, because the Mishnah represents the opinion of Akiva, the mechayiv l'shav v'kalahaba. That not only are you chayiv a carbon oil of a yoyrit for shvua into the future made b'shogig falsely, but also for the past. Ask the Gemara, but we just finished explaining ha'amrit. We just finished explaining that the reisha follows the opinion of Yishmael, that for the achalti v'loy achalti there is no carbon oil of a yoyrit. And now we're saying that the sefer represents the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that for achalti v'loy achalti there is a carbon oil of a yoyrit. How do we understand, asked the Gemara? How can we explain that the ratio of Rabbi Shmuel and the Sefer is Rabbi Kiva? So revises the Gemara's explanation of the Mishnah. And it says, and explains, Kula Rabbi Kiva. The entire Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Ratio. And when it says in the ratio, Zuhi, it's Lav L'ma'uti Echalti V'lo Echalti Mekarbin. When the Reisha used the word Zuhi, which as we have been learning, come to exclude a specific case, it's not coming to exclude the case of Echalti V'loy Echalti, but rather it's coming to speak about the case of Oichel V'loy Oichel, who we spoke about a little earlier, that somebody made a shvur that he will eat something, and then he ends up not eating it, and the Reish is teaching us that if somebody made a shvur that he will not eat something, and he eats it, then if he does it b'mezid, he's chayiv malkis, and if he does it b'shoigig, he's chayiv karban oil of yoyrid. Whereas if he makes a shvur that he will eat and he ends up not eating, if he was over the shvur b'mezid, he doesn't get malkis, for as we explained earlier, either it's a lav shem b'maisa or it's a hasra sofik. Aval karban, if he violated the shvur b'shoigig, he will be chayiv a karban oil of yoyrid. So the way we have it, the reisha of the Mishnah was coming to exclude something. It's either coming to exclude that there is no chiyuv malkus, that there is no chiyuv carbon for a case of a chalti v'lo chalti, which of course leads to a difficulty, or it's coming to teach us that for a chalti v'lo chalti there is no malkus, which is difficult with what the Ravu is saying, or it's coming to speak about the future. And it's coming to teach us that for oichel v'loy oichel, there is no chiyuv malkus, but there is a chiyuv karbon. So the Gemara's question is, why do we choose to say that the Reisha, the Mishnah, is coming to exclude a case of oichel v'loy oichel to teach us that there is no malkus in that case, rather than saying that the Mishnah is coming to exclude a din regarding ochalti v'loy ochalti? Mishnah. Why do we say that the Mishnah is coming to exclude a case that speaks to the future, rather than say that the Mishnah is coming to exclude a case that speaks to the past? Answers the Gemara. Mistabra, it makes more sense to say that the Mishnah is coming to exclude a case that speaks to the future, because the Mishnah is speaking about a case, Belahaba. It's speaking about a case where somebody made a shvur he's not going to eat. And therefore, it makes sense that it continues to exclude what will be the halacha Belahaba, there, rather than to say koy b'lahaba, that the Mishnah is speaking about a case in the future and it's coming from a mat, coming to exclude a din regarding a shvur of the past. We learned in the Mishnah a machloikis of Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. If somebody made a shvur that he won't eat, how much does he have to eat to be violate the shvur? Shvur shloach v'ach kalshu, according to the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, as soon as he eats a kalshu, he has violated the shvur. Whereas the opinion of the Rabbanon is that he has to eat a kazayis. Ask the Gemara, Bailahu, Rabbi Kiva, how do we understand the opinion of Rabbi Kiva? Do we understand the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, the B'chalatar Kulakrab Shimon Sfirulay, that Rabbi Kiva is following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who always says that when the Torah says you're not allowed to eat something, it's a mashahu? The Tanya, as we learned, Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Kol Shulamalkas, if somebody eats something that he's not supposed to be mazed, he gets malchus as soon as he eats a kalshu. V'lomer kazayis, we always have the shir kazayis. He says that shir kazayis is only said regarding carbon. So there's an interesting machloikis we showed him how to understand the opinion of Rav Shimon. That Rav Shimon says that for carbon, you have to have a kazayis. The Ritva's explanation, Taisus' explanation, is that, as we know from the first Mishnah, in Masech Tekrisis, the Chiyuv Koris and the Chiyuv Karbon Tchatos travel together. And since the Chiyuv Koris is for a Kazayis, so too will be the Chiyuv Karbon only by Kazayis. That's Taisha's explanation. Dritva has a different explanation. He says as follows. When is one Chayiv Malkus? When somebody did the Aver B'mezer, he did it deliberately. If somebody deliberately ate macholus asuris that he's not supposed to, that is a situation of mezid, for which he was machshiv, he gave consequence to what he ate, and therefore he's chayiv b'mezid a carbon, he's chayiv b'mezid even for kalshu. When is a carbon brought, says the Ritva? A carbon is brought b'shogeg, the person doesn't know he's doing anything wrong. So if he ate a significant amount, a kazayis, then he's obligated to bring a carbon. But if, number one, the aveira was done b'shogeg, and he didn't even eat anything significant, he only ate a kol shu, he wouldn't be chayiv a carbon. So obviously, Rav Shimon is of the opinion that achila is even a kol shu. Now the Gemara wants to understand, how do we understand? Rabbanan clearly disagree with Rabbi Kiva. The question is, how do we understand Rabbi Kiva's opinion? Is he agreeing with Rabbi Shimon or not? Says the Gemara, if we're going to explain that Rabbi Kiva is agreeing with Rabbi Shimon, says the Gemara, b'dinu d'boy flugi ba'alma, they really should have argued not specifically in this case. Why did Rabbi Kiva choose to articulate his position that he agrees with Rabbi Shimon specifically in this case? To show how far the Rabbanan go in their opinion that Achila represents specifically Kazayis. Because, since one could say, the Rabbanan agree that if somebody explicitly said that he's not going to eat a kol shehu, even the Rabbanan would agree that he's chayif. Therefore, maybe even when he didn't explicitly say how much he's including, stam nami chayif, kamashmon, that's why the Rabbanan have to, the Tana has to teach us that even here, the Rabbanan say it has to be specifically kazayis. That's one way of understanding. Idilma, perhaps, normally a rekiva krabbanan srirlei, that achila means a kazayis. And what's the explanation in our Mishnah? Hoyle, as we just explained, since everybody's agreeable, that if he would have been a farish, if he would have explicitly said that he means a kol shu, then he would be chayif for kol shu. Therefore, stam nami, where he didn't say it, he's also going to be chayif for kol shu. Toshma. So Gemara attempts to bring a raya from what we learned in the Mishnah. Domele, Rabbi Kiva, we find that there's a dialogue between the Chacham and Rabbi Kiva in our Mishnah. The Chacham say to Rabbi Kiva, heich mitzinu b'akoichu kol shu chayif. Where do we find that somebody only eats a kol shu, that he's chayif, that you're saying here, if somebody ate a kol shu, he would be violating his shu and he'd be chayif. The Misa, if Rabbi Kiva indeed holds like Rabbi Shimon, why doesn't he say to Rabbanan, the fact that we don't find Rabbi Kiva saying so to the Chachamim is clearly an indication, it seems, that he doesn't really subscribe to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. It's only in this specific situation where he's saying that Yechai for Kol Shehu. Says the Gemara, the Raya is not a Raya. Because the way perhaps to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Rabbi Kiva is addressing Rabbanan. And he's saying as follows. I always follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And the opinion of Rabbi Shimon is that you chayif for kol shehu. You who don't agree with Rabbi Shimon, why don't you at least agree to me? Since if he would have said the farish that he's not allowed to eat a kol shehu, you would agree that he's chayif. The halach ought to be that stam nami he's chayif. Rabbanan disagree and they say it doesn't make a difference. By shvua the shir is also kazayis. So we still don't know what is the Rabbi Kiva's opinion. Toshma, Samar tries to bring a raya from the following Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva Imer, Nazar Shashar Pita Bayayin. We know a Nazar is not allowed to drink wine. If a Nazar soaks his bread in wine, Machloikus Rishonim, what is the case there? Most Rishonim hold that it's like we just read, that he soaked the bread in wine. However, there are other Rishonim that explain that he has a piece of bread, half of it is wine, and the other half was soaked the wine, but there's no wine in it, but it's a piece of bread that was soaked. And now we ate by Kedela Tzarev Kazayis. If we combine the wine and the bread, we have a Kazayis, Chayif. Says the Gemara, Visak Adatach Ba'al Makrib Shimon Srilay. If we say Rabbi Kiva subscribes to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, why do we have to need a Kazayis? Why do we have to figure out how we have a Kazayis? Lamali Tzarev. All you need is a Kol Shehu. Voitanan, there's another Mishnah. We're going to learn in a Mishnah in the next year. If somebody makes a shvua shloy oichel, v'oichel nevelos treifus shkotzim v'ramoshim chayiv. If he eats even these foods that are us to be eaten, he's chayiv. Rav Shimon poiter, v'avinimba, and in trying to understand the Mishnah, we asked, why is that shvua valid shvua? Amai, chayiv, why is it considered a valid shvua? Mujba bahar sinaihu, isn't it a shvua that, a food that one may not already eat? And as we learned earlier in our shvir, a shvua l'kaimus a mitzvah is not considered a valid shvua. So the Gemara will give two explanations. Rav Shmuel Rav Yochanan Tavayu is referring to a situation of koil dvarim hamutarim and dvarim hamusurim. Machlokes Rishonim how to understand this Gemara. Most Rishonim say that since that he said, "I'm not going to eat," and he intends to eat, not going to eat any food. So since the shvuah is effective for the mutadiga food, it's also effective for the osadiga food, food that's already osad to him. That's called an isakoil. That's Rashi's explanation. Ritva's explanation, it's not enough that he just said, "I'm not allowed to eat all food." He has to explicitly say, "I mean that I shouldn't eat all kosher food and non-kosher food." Rish Lakish disagrees, and he says, "El yeta moitza, el mefarish chatishir." Either it's a case where somebody says, "I'm going to eat less than the amount that the Torah requires," v'liv drabbadim, and as the Rishonim point out, this has nothing to do, and we'll discuss this more also in future shiurim, in the halacha of chatishir is osam in haTorah. Even if we hold the chatishir is osam in haTorah, it's not considered a full-fledged isser. The Torah doesn't say it explicitly. There is no punishment for it. So here, since the shvu was chal, because the issa to eat the velos for treifus is only a kazayas, and here he said, "I'm going to even be also to eat less," or bestam, believe it or bekiva. And dama adam oitz asma kolshu. Somebody says that even a kolshu who is osir, and therefore the shvu is chal. Visal kedaitach, ask the gemara. Baal makrav shimus firle, then normally Reb Kiva holds like Rav Shimon. So we have a question: why are we saying that this shvu is effective? Because they made a shvu on an amount which is less than the Torah said is asur. If he holds like Rav Shimon, kol shunami mushbarai me'ar Sinai, the smallest amount is asur midaraisa. The fact that Rish Lakish explained that's referring to a case where somebody said, "I'm not going to eat the veil shkatz of Ramosha," and as Rav Kiva taught us in our Mishnah, whenever you say that, you mean a kol shu. And that is not what your Mujmav Oymav has Sinai, because the Mujmav Oymav has Sinai is only in Kazayas. Shmami no, it's clearly a ride that Ba'alma, Kiva Krabodim Svirulei, that the Shir is normally Kazayas. Only by Shvuas is there a special din of Kol Shahu. Shmami no, the Kiva agrees with Rabodim that the Shir always a Kazayas, not a Kol Shahu.